Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and in the next half-hour segment, we're going to review some aspects of the Watergate scandal that have generally not come into public view. As I speak, in late August of 1998, the nation's and to a considerable extent the world's attention is focused on the White House sex scandals, and there have been comparisons between the legal maneuverings and political maneuverings taking place around those scandals and Watergate. Whatever Bill Clinton's sins may have been, and I'm no fan of Bill Clinton's, there is nothing even remotely comparable between what's going on now and Watergate. Indeed, as I speak, in August of 1998, the Watergate cover-up continues even after Richard Nixon's death. In that regard, I cite the following. This from the San Francisco Chronicle of Wednesday, July 1st of 1998. In the Washington Report section, we read the following entitled, Notes About Contents of Nixon's Tapes Burned. The article reads in part as follows. The National Archives burned 70,000 pages of notes about the contents of Richard Nixon's White House tapes yesterday. The archives said it had no choice because a court ordered that the secrets contained in the notes were never to be made public. In the years after Nixon resigned in 1974 to avoid impeachment, the government seized Nixon's tapes. The former president and later his estate went to court to get them back. And following a Supreme Court ruling in 1977, these 70,000 pages of notes were burned. And it'd be interesting to know just what was in those notes. Indeed, as I noted in not only The Guns of November Part 3, available from Spitfire, but also a miscellaneous archive show entitled Richard Nixon's Greatest Hits, had the Watergate scandal been investigated properly, it would have revealed not only the assassination of President Kennedy, but Richard Nixon's participation in that crime. Richard Nixon was in Dallas, Texas, on November 22, 1963, working as a lawyer for PepsiCo, the parent company of Pepsi-Cola. When interviewed by the FBI on February 28, 1964, Richard Nixon said that the only time he was in Dallas, Texas was 2 days prior to President Kennedy's assassination. This despite the fact that the New York Times and San Francisco Chronicle, among other newspapers, carried a UPI interview with Nixon in Dallas on November 21st, a day after he told the FBI he left Dallas, Texas, and this was in their November 22nd, 1963 editions. Nixon, in point of fact, left a couple of hours before President Kennedy was assassinated. And by telling the FBI that the only time he was in Dallas, Texas was 2 days prior to the assassination, Richard Nixon not only provided enough information to convict him of lying to law enforcement officers, but he also provided enough information to indict him for the murder of President Kennedy. There are many, many connections between the Watergate scandal and the assassination of President Kennedy. I refer interested listeners to two archive shows. First of all, the aforementioned Guns of November Part 3, and also Richard Nixon's Greatest Hits, a summation of the underside of Richard Nixon's political career, which is pretty much his entire political career, in my opinion. Had the Watergate scandal, as I said, been properly investigated, it would have revealed the assassination of President Kennedy. And what we're going to do is to look at one of the many elements of the Watergate scandal, in addition to Richard Nixon's presence in Dallas on 11-22-63 and his lying about it to the FBI. We're going to take a look at an aspect of President Kennedy's assassination that overlaps with Watergate and which was one of the elements that focused my political attention in the direction that it has been in for the last 20 years or so, namely Jack Ruby's testimony before the Warren Commission. Jack Ruby was interviewed by the Warren Commission in Dallas, Texas in 1964, specifically in July of 1964, and it was June 7th of 1964, and when interviewed by the Warren Commission, Jack Ruby quite obviously was attempting to indicate that there was much more to the story than the low nut hypothesis about Lee Harvey Oswald. And it's also quite obvious, as you listen to what you're about to hear, that Jack Ruby believed he was part of a conspiracy, believed he was in danger, and did not want to speak candidly with the Warren Commission members under the circumstances that obtained in the Dallas County Jail. Present at what you're about to hear were not only Earl Warren, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and the head of the Warren Commission, but also Gerald Ford, who was a member of the Warren Commission, later was named by Richard Nixon to replace Spiro Agnew as vice president, and then when Nixon resigned, Gerald Ford became president and pardoned Richard Nixon of any crimes that he had committed. Also present in what you're about to hear is Leon Jaworski, Leon Jaworski was the Watergate special prosecutor, so named by Richard Nixon to replace Archibald Cox, who was fired by Richard Nixon. Archibald Cox, by the way, had been President Kennedy's Solicitor General. Kenneth Starr was George Bush's Solicitor General. I would also point out that present at what you're about to hear was Arlen Specter, who at the time was a Warren Commission counsel. He later, and actually now, is a U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania and is chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. By the way, I would also point out that Leon Jaworski, who was named by Richard Nixon to replace Archibald Cox as Watergate special prosecutor, sat on the board of directors of the M.D. Anderson Fund, which was a CIA domestic funding conduit. Leon Jaworski was also a Warren Commission counsel who was in charge with seeing whether Lee Harvey Oswald had any intelligence connections. Jaworski found that he had none. In point of fact, Oswald had more intelligence connections and Carter had little liver pills. I would also point out that Leon Jaworski was the special counsel, co-counsel to the Texas Court of Inquiry, the Texas state of Texas body that was put together by then state Texas Attorney General Wagner Carr to investigate the Kennedy assassination for the state of Texas. A couple of points in what you're about to hear that younger listeners should bear in mind. First of all, you're going to hear Jack Ruby making references to Earl Warren being in danger and to, quote, "they feel the same way about you that they do about me, Chief Justice Warren." Chief Justice Earl Warren of the Supreme Court had been a focus of intense hatred by the political right wing for the relatively liberal court decisions that the Warren Court had made. A couple of other things to bear in mind was that Jack Ruby felt that his family would be in danger because of the statements that he was making to the Warren Commission. Bear that in mind because you'll hear several references to that during the course of what you're about to hear. Also bear in mind that Jack Ruby did not trust his lawyer, Joe Tannehill, and makes several attempts to get Joe Tannehill to be removed from the room before he makes his testimony. A couple of names also to bear in mind here are Elmer Moore, a Secret Service agent, and Bill Decker, who was the Dallas County Sheriff. So again, bear in mind that what you're listening to now involves not only listening to what you're about to hear were not only Gerald Ford, the Warren Commission member who was named by Richard Nixon to be vice president to replace Spiro Agnew, an individual who then succeeded Nixon as president and pardoned Nixon of all crimes, just as George Bush, just before leaving office, pardoned many of the Iran-Contra participants of all crimes they had committed as well. Also, Leon Jaworski of the M.D. Anderson Fund, a CIA domestic funding conduit, a Warren Commission counsel who was named by Richard Nixon to be Watergate special prosecutor when he fired Archibald Cox, whom Congress had named as special prosecutor, or who had been named a special prosecutor, I should say, Archibald Cox, had been Kennedy's attorney general. Also bear in mind that, as I said, Arlen Specter, a Warren Commission counsel, who was the author of the infamous single bullet theory, or magic bullet theory, as critics have appropriately termed it, is present at what you're about to hear. And once again, bear in mind what I said about Earl Warren being a bête noire to the political right. That's something younger listeners may not be familiar with. And bear in mind again that Jack Ruby did not trust Joe Tannehill, his lawyer, and was trying to get him removed from the room. Bear in mind that Ruby was afraid for his family and afraid that his family would come to grief because of what he was going to tell the Warren Commission. And also bear in mind that Ruby wanted to get a lie detector test and sodium pentothal test, and that the Warren Commission members did not want him to have that. So again, what you're about to hear is Jack Ruby's testimony before the Warren Commission on June 7th, 1964. This is from Volume 5, pages 181 through 212 of the 26 volumes of Warren Commission testimony and exhibits, and in turn this is reprinted in a book called The Yankee and Cowboy War, subtitled Conspiracies from Dallas to Watergate, that was authored by Carl Oglesby, O-G-L-E-S-B-Y, published in hardcover by Sheed, Andrews and McNeil Incorporated, published in softcover by the Berkeley Medallion Books, and it's copyright 1976. And the ISBN number, by the way, is 0-8362-0680. The paperback edition, ISBN 0-8362-0688-6. Jack Ruby testified as follows in front of the Warren Commission, and again, these excerpts from the Yankee and Cowboy War taken in turn from Volume 5, pages 181 through 212 of the Warren Commission testimony and exhibits. Warren, this is another man on my staff, Mr. Specter. Would you mind if he came in? Ruby, is there any way you can get me to Washington? Warren, I beg your pardon? Ruby, is there any way of you getting me to Washington? Warren, I don't know of any. I'll be glad to talk to your counsel about what the situation is, Mr. Ruby, when we get an opportunity to talk. And Oglesby adds in parentheses, Ruby has been intermittently begging a chance to talk to Warren alone. Bear in mind that Ruby did not trust his lawyer, Joe Tonhill, as I've indicated a couple of times. Back to the testimony. Ruby, I don't think I'll get a fair representation with my counsel, Joe Tonhill. I don't think so. I would like to request that I go to Washington, and you take all the tests that I have to take. It's very important, Tonhill. Jack, will you tell him why you don't think you will get a fair representation? Ruby, because I have been over this for the longest time, to get the lie detector test. Somebody's been holding it back from me. Warren, Mr. Ruby, I might say to you that the lateness of this thing is not due to your counsel. It was our own delay due to the pressures we had on us at the time. And skipping down, Ruby, gentlemen, unless you get me to Washington, you can't get a fair shake out of me. If you understand my way of talking, you have got to bring me to Washington to get the tests. Do I sound dramatic, off the beam? Warren, no, you were speaking very, very rationally. And I am really quite surprised that you can remember as much as you have remembered up to the present time. You've given it to us in great detail. Ruby, unless you get me to Washington, and I am not a crackpot, I have all my senses, I don't want to evade any crime I'm guilty of, but, Mr. Moore, have I spoken this way when we talked? Moore, yes. Ruby, unless you get me to Washington immediately, I am afraid after what Mr. Tonhill has written there, and skipping ahead, Ruby, is there any way of getting the polygraph here? Decker, that's Dallas County Sheriff Bill Decker. May I make a suggestion, Jack? Listen, you and I have had a lot of dealings. Do you want my officers removed from the room while you talk to the Warren Commission? Ruby, that wouldn't prove any truth. Decker, these people came several thousand miles to interview you. You have wanted to tell me your story, and I have refused to let you tell me. Now be a man with a bunch of men that have come a long way to give an opportunity to... Ruby, I wish the president were here right now. It's a terrible ordeal, I tell you that. And Oglesby adds in parentheses, he subsides for a moment to his pat narrative, then turns back to Decker. Bill, will you do that for me that you asked a minute ago? You said you wanted to leave the room. By the way, I would point out that Decker had refused to let Ruby testify to him alone. Continuing, Decker, I will have everyone leave the room, including myself, if you want to talk about it. You name it, and out we will go. Ruby, all right. Decker, you want all of us outside? Ruby, yes. Decker, I will leave Tonhill and Moore. I am not going to have Joe leave. Joe, of course, is Joe Tonhill, Ruby's lawyer, whom he does not trust. Ruby, if you're not going to have Joe leave, Decker, Moore, his body's responsible to you. His body is responsible to you. Bill, that's Ruby. Bill, I am not accomplishing anything if they are here and Joe Tonhill is here. You asked me anybody I wanted out. Decker, Jack, this is your attorney. That is your lawyer. Ruby, he is not my lawyer. And then Oglesby adds in parentheses that Decker and law enforcement officers leave the room. Ruby adds, gentlemen, if you want to hear any further testimony, you will have to get me to Washington, because it has something to do with you, Chief Warren. Do I sound sober enough to tell you this, Warren? Yes, go right ahead. Ruby, I want to tell the truth, and I can't tell it here. I can't tell it here. Does that make sense to you, Warren? Well, let's not talk about sense. But I really can't see why you can't tell this commission, Ruby. But this isn't the place for me to tell what I want to tell. Moore, the commission is looking into the entire matter, and you are part of it. Should be. Ruby, Chief Warren, your life is in danger in this city. Do you know that? Warren, no, I don't know that. If that's the thing that you don't want to talk about, you can tell me, if you wish, when this is all over, just between you and me, Ruby. No, I would like to talk to you in private. Warren, You may do that when you finish your story. You may tell me that phase of it. Ruby, I bet you haven't had a witness like me in your whole investigation. Is that correct? Warren, there are many witnesses whose memory has not been as good as yours. I tell you that honestly. Ruby, my reluctance to talk. You haven't had any witness in telling the story and finding so many problems. Warren, you have a greater problem than any witness we've had. Ruby, I have a lot of reasons for having those problems. Warren, I know that. And we want to respect your rights, whatever they may be. And I only want to hear what you are willing to tell us, because I realize that you still have a great problem before you, and I am not trying to press you. Ruby, when are you going back to Washington? Warren, I'm going back shortly after we finish this hearing. I'm going to have some lunch. Ruby, can I make a statement? Warren, yes. Ruby, if you request me to go back to Washington with you right now, that couldn't be done, could it? Warren, no, it could not be done. It could not be done. There are a good many things involved in that, Mr. Ruby. Ruby, what are they? Warren, well, the public attention that it would attract and the people who would be around. We have no place for you to be safe when we take you out, and we're not law enforcement officers, and it isn't our responsibility to go into anything of that kind. And certainly it couldn't be done on a moment's notice this way. Ruby, gentlemen, my life is in danger here. Not with my guilty plea of execution, Oglesby adds, i.e. not because of killing Oswald. Do I sound sober enough to you as I say this, Warren? You do. You sound entirely sober. Ruby, from the moment I started my testimony, have I sounded as though, with the exception of becoming emotional, haven't I sounded as though I make sense what I was talking about? Warren, you have indeed. I understand everything you have said. If I haven't, it's my fault. Ruby, then I follow this up. I may not live tomorrow to give any further testimony. The reason why I add this to this, since you assure me that I've been speaking sense by then, I might be speaking sense by following what I've said, and the only thing I want to get out to the public, and I can't say it here, is with authenticity, with sincerity of the truth of everything, and why my act was committed. But it can't be said here. It can be said. It's got to be said amongst people of the highest authority that would give me the benefit of the doubt, and following that, immediately give me the lie detector test after I do make the statement. Chairman Warren, if you felt that your life was in danger at the moment, how would you feel? Wouldn't you be reluctant to go on speaking, even though you request me to do so? Warren, I think I might have some reluctance if I was in your position. Yes, I think I would. I think I would figure it out very carefully as to whether it would endanger me or not. If you think that anything that I am doing or anything that I am asking you is endangering you in any way, shape, or form, I want you to feel absolutely free to say that the interview is over. Ruby, what happens then? I didn't accomplish anything. Warren, no, nothing's been accomplished. Ruby, well, then you won't follow up with anything further? Warren, there wouldn't be anything to follow up if you hadn't completed your statement. Ruby, you said you have the power to do what you want to do. Is that correct, Warren? Exactly. Ruby, without any limitations? Warren, within the purview of the executive order which established the commission. Ruby, but you don't have a right to take a prisoner back with you when you want to? Warren, no. We have the power to subpoena witnesses to Washington if we want to do it. But we've taken the testimony of 200 or 300 people, I would imagine, here in Dallas, without going to Washington. Ruby, yes, but those people aren't Jack Ruby. Warren, no, they weren't. Ruby, they weren't. Warren, now I want you to feel that we are not here to take any advantage of you, because I know that you were in a delicate position, and unless you had indicated not only through your lawyers, but also through your sister, who wrote a letter addressed either to me or to Mr. Rankin saying that you wanted to testify before the commission, unless she had told us that, I wouldn't have bothered you. Ruby, the thing is that with your power that you have, Chief Justice Warren, and all these gentlemen, too much time has gone by for me to give you any benefit of what I may say now. And still later, the Rankin here, by the way, is J. Lee Rankin of Warren Commission Counsel. Rankin, it isn't entirely clear how you feel that your family and you yourself are threatened by your killing It isn't entirely clear how you feel that your family and you yourself are threatened by your telling what you have to the commission. How do you come to the conclusion that they might be killed? Will you tell us a little bit more about that if you can, Ruby? Well, assuming that, as I stated before, some persons are accusing me, falsely, of being part of the plot, naturally, in all the time from over 6 months ago, my family has been so interested in helping me. Rankin. By that, you mean a party to the plot of Oswald? Ruby. That I was a party to a plot to silence Oswald. And skipping down, Warren. Mr. Ruby, I think you are entitled to a statement to this effect, because you have been frank with us and have told us your story. I think I can say to you that there has been no witness before this commission out of the hundreds we have questioned who has claimed to have any personal knowledge that you were a party to any conspiracy to kill our president. Ruby. Yes, but you don't know this area here. Warren. Well, I will make this additional statement to you, that if any witness should testify before the commission that you were, to their knowledge, a party to any conspiracy to assassinate the president, I assure you that we will give you the opportunity to deny it and to take any tests that you may desire to so disprove it. Skipping down. Ruby. And I wish that our beloved president, Lyndon Johnson, would have delved deeper into the situation, hear me, not to accept just circumstantial facts about my guilt or innocence, and would have questioned to find out the truth about me before he relinquished certain powers to these certain people. Consequently, a whole new form of government is going to take over our country, and I know I won't live to see you another time. Do I sound sort of screwy in telling you these things, Warren? No, I think that is what you believe, or you wouldn't tell it under oath. Ruby, but it is a very serious situation. I guess it's too late to stop it, isn't it? And skipping down. Next, you'll hear from Gerald Ford, a Warren Commission member, who, as I've said a couple of times, was already, was named by Richard Nixon to replace Spiro Agnew as vice president. Later, he succeeded Nixon as president and pardoned Nixon of all crimes that he may have committed. Ford. Are there any questions that ought to be asked to help clarify the situation that you describe? Ruby. There is only one thing. If you don't take me to Washington tonight to give me a chance to prove to the president that I am not guilty, then you will see the most tragic thing that will ever happen. And still later, Ruby. Now maybe something can be saved. It may not be too late, whatever happens, if our president, Lyndon Johnson, knew the truth from me. But if I am eliminated, there won't be any way of knowing. Right now, when I leave your presence now, I am the only one that can bring out the truth to our president who believes in righteousness and justice. But he's been told, I am certain, that I was part of a plot to assassinate the president. I know, your hands are tied, you're helpless. Warren. Mr. Ruby, I think I can say this to you, that if he has been told any such thing, there is no indication of any kind that he believes it. Ruby. I am sorry, Chief Justice Warren. I thought I would be very effective in telling you what I have said here. But in all fairness to everyone, maybe all I want to do is beg that if they found out I was telling the truth, maybe they can succeed in what their motives are, but maybe my people won't be tortured and mutilated. And skipping down, Warren. Well, you may be sure that my president and his whole commission will do anything that is necessary to see that your people are not tortured. Ruby, no. Warren, you may be sure of that. Ruby, no. The only way you can do it is if he knows the truth, that I'm telling the truth, and why I was down in that basement Sunday morning, and maybe some sense of decency will come out, and they can still fulfill their plan, as I stated before, without my people going through torture and mutilation. Warren, the president will know everything that you have said. Everything that you have said. Ruby, but I won't be around, Chief Justice. I won't be around to verify those things that you are going to tell the president. Tannehill, who never left the room. Who do you think is going to eliminate you, Jack? Ruby. I have been used for a purpose, and there will be a certain tragic occurrence happening if you don't take my testimony and somehow vindicate me so my people don't suffer because of what I've done. Ruby. But we have taken your testimony. We have it here. It will be in permanent form for the President of the United States and for the Congress of the United States and for the courts of the United States and for the people of the entire world. It is there. It will be recorded for all to see. That is the purpose of our coming here today. We feel that you're entitled to have your story told. Ruby. You have lost me, though. You have lost me, Chief Justice Warren. Warren, lost you? In what sense? Ruby. I won't be around for you to come and question again, Warren. Well, it is very hard for me to believe that. I am sure that everybody would want to protect you to the very limit, Ruby. All I want is a lie detector test, and you refuse to give it to me. Because as it stands now in the truth serum and any other pentothal, how do you pronounce it, whatever it is, and they will not give it to me because I want to tell the truth, and then I want to leave this world. And skipping ahead still further, Ruby. How are we going to communicate and so on, Warren? We will communicate directly with you, Ruby. You have a lost cause, Earl Warren. You don't stand a chance. They feel about you like they do about me, Chief Justice Warren. I shouldn't hurt your feelings in telling you that. That again, Jack Ruby's testimony before the Warren Commission from Volume 5, pages 181 through 212 of the 26 volumes of Warren Commission testimony and exhibits. And in turn, that was reprinted from Carl Oglesby's The Yankee and Cowboy War from 1976. In his book, The Ends of Power, former Nixon White House aide H.R. Bob Haldeman stated that the whole Bay of Pigs thing was a code word in the Nixon White House for the assassination of President Kennedy. And recall, those of you who are familiar with the Watergate scandal, that Nixon said that he did not want to release the Watergate tapes because he was afraid that, quote, the whole Bay of Pigs thing, unquote, might come out. In listening to Jack Ruby's testimony in front of Earl Warren, Gerald Ford, Arlen Specter, Leon Jaworski, later Watergate special prosecutor, and bearing in mind Richard Nixon's presence in Dallas, Texas on 11-22-63, and the fact that he lied about it to the FBI, I don't think it's difficult to figure out just exactly what it was that Richard Nixon was worried about. I would also note, as I indicated earlier, that as of late June of 1998, some 70,000 pages of notes concerning the Watergate tapes were destroyed after a successful court fight by the Nixon estate. The Watergate cover-up going on to this date, even as comparisons are being made between Bill Clinton's situation and Watergate. I would also note that at the beginning of the summer of 1998, the Zapruder film, the home movie of President Kennedy's assassination, was released on video cassette. As yet, however, the CD of Jack Ruby's testimony before the Warren Commission has yet to be released. Until or unless it is, what you just heard, I'm afraid, is going to have to suffice. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.